And now we're going to talk about a different kind of love affair, a love affair with a place called Pass Christian, Mississippi. Now, you'll remember that Oprah Winfrey made a splash earlier this year when she opened her new Leadership Academy in South Africa. But when we looked around, we saw people doing similar amazing things right here without Oprah-sized wallets. We call them ordinary Oprahs, and we're going to bring you their stories from time to time. Today, Ellen Ratner and Sholene Espinoza. Ellen is a talk show host. Sholene is a former spy plane pilot, now commercial pilot, and a journalist. They are New Yorkers who somehow or another found themselves connected to the people of Pass Christian, Mississippi, a town devastated by Hurricane Katrina. They've been steadily raising money, and they've recently broken ground on the new Marsha Barber Community Center. They joined us from NPR Studios in New York. Ellen, Sholene, welcome.
Thank you.
So you guys are friends, and you're New Yorkers. How did you even know, no offense, where Pass Christian, Mississippi is?
I had no idea. I was sitting on an airplane 4 days after the storm, and I sat next to a woman and her two kids, and they started talking about escaping from the storm. And she said she had an aunt and an uncle that were pastors of two different African-American Methodist churches, and that their towns had been completely devastated. We got a list from them of things that they needed. We were joined by a third friend of mine. And we came down with an entire truck full of goods and fell in love with the area. The rest is history.
Wait, Sholene, does Ellen do stuff like this often, talk to people on airplanes and then wind up with a truck?
Yes, Michelle. I actually wrote a book that's a fundraiser for this project called Through the Eye of the Storm, and I have a chapter about how I'm a military pilot. I'm currently a commercial airline pilot, and I have sort of a don't ask, don't tell, no need to know sort of approach to information, whereas Ellen will get the life story of anyone that she might even share a cab with. So we're very fortunate that she's that way. Without that conversation, this would have never happened.
So, Ellen, what did you first bring down?
We brought down a lot of diapers, mops, cleaning supplies, underwear.
Bug spray. Non-perishable food items.
Right.
How soon after the storm did you have that truck going down there?
12 days, 13 days, something like that.
Now, a lot of people were still being told not to go down there. A lot of people were still being told, you know, stay away, let the professionals do their job. Clearly you didn't listen.
And, you know, that's actually a great point, Michelle, because the problem was there were really thousands of volunteers who wanted to go but just couldn't get the access to figure out how. And we were very fortunate to connect with private citizens and with the churches. And even today, tens of thousands of volunteers have gone and continue to go down the Gulf Coast. And really, as the governor said the other day, that's who's done the majority of the work, particularly on homes.
What did you see when you first got down? Did both of you go, Ellen and Sholene, both of you went?
Yes, and we were accompanied by our friend Eleanor Gibson. A complete disaster. I mean, I have been to Iraq. Sholene was my embedded correspondent in Iraq. You know, I've been to the Horn of Africa, but it reminded me of the Horn of Africa. There was just nothing left.
I understand that all but about 500 of the 8,000 homes in the area were either destroyed or damaged. And that's a number. What can you help me see it?
Well, I'll give you a great example, Michelle. This was in March after the storm. Ellen and I go down there about once every month. And we were at the Pass Christian Tent City having lunch with a woman who is a grandmother with a young grandson, 11 years old, autistic, living in a car. They were the only surviving members of their family. And here she is, a grandmother with an autistic grandson living in a vehicle. That was months after the storm. And even today, as the governor said the other day, there's 26,000 families living in FEMA trailers. They're grateful for those trailers, but
they're not mobile homes.
It's not much bigger than the back of a pickup truck. But at the same time, that's what's given us the motivation to get this Marsha Barber Community Resource Center complete with the swimming pool, not only to teach life skills, but to have a place where the kids and the elderly people can come and reconnect.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. So you went down with the truck. How did you go from there to a community center?
Well, when we very first went down right after the storm with the truck, they had taken us on a tour, Reverend Rosemary Williams and Reverend Theodore. And the first thing within the first 30 minutes was Reverend Williams shared with us a vision she had had for her community, for an education center and a senior center and a wellness center. And I began to think about trying to make that happen. And so I asked her if there was any property for sale around the area, and she sort of smiled and said, well, yes, I think there is a piece. And she directed me, and I bought that piece of property that day.
Oh, you bought it that day?
Well, I made an offer with
how much
Mr.
was it?
Charles McKay, who was a very hard negotiator.
Okay, but how do you go from a truck to this ongoing commitment? Because this has been a couple of years now. I'm just wondering, what do you think has kept you at it?
When you go down there and you see, you connect with the families and the individuals, and you realize how much need there still is. And it's very hard. You just can't go back to your life in Washington or New York or wherever without making that kind of commitment.
What kind of services will the center provide? And Charlene mentioned swimming. Tell me why that's important.
I think it's a critical life skill, and unfortunately, very few children have ever been in a swimming pool down there. This was something that we didn't start off doing, but it was really championed by the YMCA, the Blossman YMCA in the Gulf Coast. It's about 35 minutes away. I don't know if you're familiar with the history, but what we've been told down there is that in desegregation, many of the pools were filled in as opposed to desegregate these swimming pools. And, of course, that's not the opinion today. And, in fact, this was championed by the Caucasian community for the whole community. But at the same time, it's a legacy of that initial racism. And we believe that fewer people would have died in Katrina had they known how to swim. And, of course, you know, I'd love to see an Olympic swimmer come out of there. But that's obviously one skill. Of course, the other is the senior programs. They've lost so much of their history, their heirlooms, their livelihoods. But to be able to come and tell their stories to the younger generations, because the strength of the community is not the material possessions, but the spirit and the legacy of these senior citizens.
What do you think other people might do who may be listening to this conversation and are wondering what they might do to help those who are still hurting?
Well, I think, obviously, I mean, we have some contact information on our website through theeyeofthestorm.com, which is a clearinghouse really for the book that's a fundraiser, but also information about the center. And we could certainly connect you in anything, not just our project, but if your passion is housing or sports programs or what have you. There's a lot of devastation down there. But I would say this, Michelle, is that even if maybe you don't have a passion, I think the fundamental thing that we've learned from this, if you don't have a passion for the Gulf Coast or for Katrina, there's many Katrinas all over this country, maybe even in your own family, and that really we find ourselves by giving ourselves away. And as Ellen would say, you grow where you're planted. And this was clearly a situation where I felt like this was a moral imperative, but I'm not finished. And once this is complete and the Marsha Barber Community Resource Center is fully funded and on its feet, I certainly look to a more immediate area for the next mission.
Charlene Espinoza is a former spy plane pilot. She is a commercial pilot. She is also author of a book about her post-Katrina experience, Through the Eye of the Storm. And Ellen Ratner is a talk radio host for the Talk Radio News Service. She's also a commentator for Fox News. They joined us in New York. Ladies, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.